Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your ed tech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome. We got a big show. Oh gosh, I had to stop being a broken record, Betsy,
because just break that record.
Every time I say we got a big show, but they're all big. Every show's big, and I really got to get away from that. But it's also fun just to say those things. But listen, we got a big show. Episode number 33. If you're not counting, I'm counting. Episode number 33. We got a big guest today in the house, Betsy Klim.
The one and only.
The only one and only. And sometimes we call her E-Klim.
That's right.
Sometimes. We got to know both acronyms there. B-Klim and E-Klim. But seriously, though, Betsy, thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime.
Man, I'm excited. I hope you're excited.
I'm so excited.
And I know, like, typically, Betsy, for the show, I don't share notes. Sometimes I do. Kind of depends on who's coming on. But I hope you like those notes that I've shared with you.
Kind of gives you. I'm so thankful for the notes.
Gives you a heads up of what's happening here. So listen, before we totally start diving in, Betsy, who's our guest today, Betsy Klim, one of our new members of the Broward County Innovation Specialist Technology Team members. I don't know why. I feel like I made some of that up.
Yeah, maybe.
But go ahead and like tell us a little about you, past history, current things, just whatever you want to tell us.
Okay. So I'm just starting out in this role, but the last 4 years I was a media specialist at Walker Valley High School. And in the past, I've served in libraries, both for elementary and high schools. And my origin story is I started out as a third grade teacher way back in the day.
Third grade teacher?
For reals.
Whoa.
Yes.
Did not know about that.
Oh, yeah. So great times.
It's like I did elementary one time, and that was in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. I was student teaching.
Okay.
I think if I stayed with that grade level, I would have loved it. But I got away from it, and now going back, I'm like, that's a lot. I don't think I can handle that.
So cute.
But my favorite story that I tell people is in kindergarten, there was one day in class, and this kid's got like, there's like water in the floor. And this is before, like, we had water bottles, COVID, all these things, right? And I'm like, why is there water in the floor? These kids don't have water bottles. There's no drinks on anything.
I'm worried where this story
And I'm going. Like, this doesn't make sense. And I'm, like, looking at the kid. I don't ask questions. Again, like, I'm a guy, 19, 20 years old, student teaching. Sure. And then his pants are different. He's got blue jeans on. They're different colored.
No.
And I'm like,
oh, no.
That's weird. So I, like, reached out and I touched just a little bit of it, right? No. And as soon as I felt the wetness, Betsy, I was like, oh, my goodness. He did it. He went in his pants. And I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? So that was kind of fun. That was my big highlight of kindergarten teaching. But third grade, man.
Oh, yeah.
You've been all over the place. I knew, like, the media specialist. I knew you, you know, the technology coach in previous lives. But third grade.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was a great age. They are able to read and do a lot of stuff for themselves. So it's a lot of fun.
Man, how many years did you do that? Did you already say that?
I was 3 years in the classroom.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you went to be a...
I was in the library after
that.
In
the library. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Elementaries and high schools.
Yeah. Look at you. Skipped the whole middle school there.
I did. But I had a great middle school summer school experience. I think you did that as well this summer.
Yes, that was pretty awesome. Those kids are a lot of fun. They're not really elementary, they're not really high school, and they're kind of just their own being.
Yeah, it was really cool. And we got to do tech things with them.
So. It's always fun. Yeah. Summer school is fun because there's no like pressure to get things done in a short amount of time. You've got that whole week, you know, we split weeks up. And so it's just fun to have 4 days with them and kind of like it's almost like I did podcasting, and so I really haven't done a lot of that in the classroom with kids, so it's almost like our time to like play.
That's
our
right.
Time to just
test drive these cool ideas. Yeah. We have.
Yes, I love that. All right, so as we get started, Betsy, I know you we've been this tech coach, but now our title's an innovation specialist, right? What are some of your favorite aspects of this job, whether it's here in Broward County or previous roles that you've had?
So getting to go in all kinds of different classrooms and meet all the different teachers, I really like that, learning all the cool different things that people do with their students. I like to learn, so we are asked to learn a lot of different things quickly. So I really like the pace of that. So getting to work for me too, this year, I'm working in elementary and high school as well. So getting to see the range of different things that are going on, different age levels, is really cool. And then in Bradley County, we do so much with STEM and CTE and stuff like that. So seeing specializations, you know, you may see the origin story in elementary school, but seeing how it plays out across like the total career of a kid, like this is what it looks like now as a senior. So we're sitting in the PI Center today, seeing even more elevated, like thinking about college and career stuff. So that's super fun to me.
Yeah, it's just, you're not just stuck in that bubble of elementary or high school or middle school. We're getting to see K-12 and really seeing that progression as it comes. And that is really a cool spot of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I agree with you. I really love this role because we get to travel across the district. You know, we do have our home schools, but then at times we get to see outside of that. And I love seeing what teacher A is doing in this building. And then you can say, you know what, this teacher B over here in a different building can do that same thing. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing more real life applicable things, because you know, we're not in the classroom anymore, so some, that's a little bit of a hindrance, but then we've got to work harder to be more a part of things and know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so being able to share ideas between buildings, and just seeing teachers doing what they do, and they don't really even need support from us as a person, but we come alongside them and do support them, but just seeing what the incredible things they do is really just a cool thing, a part of this job. I love that.
That's awesome.
So really, when we think about this job, Betsy, you've been in this role. So and my friend Colby, Betsy, our friend Colby, yes, says I shouldn't talk like this, but we're recording this before fall break. So this is going to come out after fall break. But essentially, we've been working a fall break schedule. You've been in 9 weeks in Bradley County as this teacher. We've talked, you know, really about just your favorite, like traveling around, doing all those things. But really, in this time period, what's something that just gets you excited?
Well, all the new stuff with AI is really kind of insane right now. That is a huge thing. So like, even if you thought you knew a program before, it's changed in the last 3 months.
Oh my gosh, it's so hard to stay on track.
Yeah. And so like, being aware of the changes and then thinking about how to apply that in a classroom, how that could be helpful to a teacher, that has been kind of cool. So we've done some, I think you helped with the DFIT training we did.
Oh my goodness. I got some, we're going to talk about DFIT later. You don't know that yet, but DFIT's coming.
Okay.
I shouldn't tell you that now. But no, I agree with you. I think like seeing all the new changes and being, that's a huge thing that gets you excited. My favorite thing to be excited about, yes, it's programs. Yes, it's those things. But I love when teachers, you see the spot. It's almost like when I coached football. Mm-hmm. Like you would coach these kids and they had no idea what they're doing. Like they were terrible. Like I had a kid 1 year and I'll never forget his name. His kid, it was Cody Moorfield. And he was, and this is recorded, it's fine. He was just not very good. But there was something that happened throughout that season of being a seventh grader. And he turned out to be the best kid I had on the team. Like incredible. So it's almost like that same idea with these teachers. Like you're talking about things, you're sharing things. And maybe they just hear it elsewhere or they dive in and it's like, Hey, Josh, did you know that this program exists? Or like, I've got a teacher yesterday at North Lee Elementary. She walks by me and she didn't really want to talk a whole bunch, but she's, hey, listen, you'd be proud of me. I'm using Magic School. I'm using AI. I created a worksheet in 5 minutes yesterday. And it's like, you're awesome. And that I think really gets me excited. Whether I'm helping support them or you just see that they're getting excited and they want to share that news with you.
That's so true.
I love that part, feeling like, I don't know, just it makes my tech heart happy to see those things.
And they can take the littlest thing, like you may think it's not an essential tip or something that everybody knows, and they can do something incredibly magical out of it. So that's really exciting to see.
It is. And it just, I don't know. I think it truly makes our role so different, that we're seeing so many teachers, we're seeing so many things, and sometimes we just don't see like the fruits of our labor. Like we do so many, behind the scene things that sometimes people will never know what we do. But when those things come out and people are like, hey, you're doing awesome, or hey, thanks for sharing that, you get those special little emails, and it just really, I don't know, it continues to push and continues to drive what we do. So,
very true.
All right. Well, cool. So, we've talked about maybe this one a little, and I know we've got a list of questions, Betsy, and this is just, you know, this is just, I know this is who you are. And I think that's a fun, can I tell a fun story about you?
You can, I'm afraid.
It's not that bad. So I remember it was right after you got hired, Betsy, and we're having a staff meeting, and we get done where everybody's separating for the day. I think it's like actually getting ready to be summer break, maybe. It's like one of those last days before school.
This is Sheldon Cooper.
This is. And I remember, Betsy, you were like, now listen, you know the Sheldon Cooper? And I was like, yeah. He's like, I am the girl version of Sheldon Cooper.
without
all those things. And I was like, all right, okay, sure. And I've kind of remembered that in the back of my brain. And so even as we've done things, like even when we did our webinar and we changed different, like you can see those, nothing wrong with it, no. But see those personality come out. And even for the show, you know, I talked about earlier, I typically don't share the notes, but I knew that you needed that.
Yes.
Even when you walked in the door, here's my notes. I'm sitting them down. We're going to look at it. So I love that. And sometimes we need that. I'm more of loosey-goosey. I've got my highlights here. I've got my paper too, but it's, you know, I've got my bullet points and we're just going to see where the conversation goes. So I love that. But this a fun little story about you. So favorite, not necessarily part, but do you have a favorite phrase, go-to answer, or just something that you found that you continually do when you go to your buildings to support your teachers?
I just working within existing systems. I know that sounds kind of general or whatever, but like if we are one-to-one Chromebook, let's find a solution that works with Chromebooks instead of reaching for something outside of that that costs extra money or whatever. You know, looking for state resources that are free to us. So, for example, we have Tennessee Electronic Library. So, instead of looking all over the internet for maybe a source of information for research, there may be a database within that that would help you with the research you're doing with your students. So just like using existing frameworks, existing systems and equipment to try to answer the questions we have. And then that forms kind of like a baseline that we can build on when we go and do bigger things. So I don't have to go rebuy the computer. I can start with that. And then maybe I'm buying some sort of a sensor or a camera or some kind of thing that enhances that baseline experience. So that would be kind of a very broad general.
Yeah. No, I love that. Because I feel like sometimes as we teachers have questions, sometimes we look for like the new and best program, or we try to pull out something fancy from AI. But sometimes I feel like, especially in our positions, we have to remember not everything has to be tech. Not everything needs to go that way. Sometimes we don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
It's like the other day I was talking to a teacher about quizzes, and quizzes has their paper mode, right? The kids don't even need their laptop to take your quiz today. Like, just print these papers out. And they're like, really? I was like, yeah, you don't even need your laptop. Here's something you can do on the fly. Like, here's your papers. They turn it and there's your answers. So I think when you think about those things, we're just using the resources we already have, certain simple, low-tech things.
Well, and sometimes we're not aware of, I mean, it may be high-tech, but it's been sitting there and no one's aware that button is there or that resource has been sitting there. So like sometimes revisiting things because we've forgotten about them, or we weren't just open to receiving them at that time because we didn't have a use for it at that moment.
Yeah.
So, and I think we have to constantly be doing that too, like, not assuming that everybody knows whatever it is that is our norm, like making available that information so people can kind of help themselves as they need. For example, we have new teachers maybe entering into our system. So making available resources so they can know what is available to them, like what equipment should I expect to see in my classroom? How do I use those things? So.
Yeah, because even like as new teachers come in the system, whether you're a first year or you've been teaching for a long time, moving systems can be different. Like, you wouldn't think like systems are systems, like you're still teaching, it's still that, but there's so much more to that. For example, like my wife worked for Bradley County Schools. Now she's transferred over. And we won't say where just so we don't get her in trouble. No, she doesn't care. But, you know, So like even for there, you know, we're a Windows device system. Where she moved to, they're Apple devices. And I can remember her coming home that first week and she goes, man, I do not like this Apple computer. Like I don't know what the buttons are. And we had to work to go through that. So even like difficulties like that or screen sharing where we've got panels where we just log in and go.
Right.
There's so many things to catch up on. So many things to become overwhelmed outside of our normal A to Z teaching with our kids. And so just that's awesome. Just trying to figure out what we have to support them.
Right. Right.
So I feel like we went around the block on that
maybe,
one,
but it's okay. We came
right.
back.
We're just having good conversations. Like we talked before the show, just because we have a microphone doesn't mean we would do that in general like
sure,
that
yeah.
just because we're
chase that rabbit.
Yeah. It's fun to chase it sometimes. It makes good for good conversation. Now, listen, before we keep going, Betsy, it's time.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you sure?
No.
I hope I'm ready. It's time for... the Tech Flush Tip of the Day. Okay?
All right.
All right, Betsy. So for our tip of the day, I know on our notes it says secret question.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So, Betsy, for our Tech Flush tip of the day, what type of, you know what? I don't even like that one. I know I told you before the show, I didn't know what I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just do this. What is your favorite, if for any teacher, experienced first-year teacher, what would be your biggest tech tip advice for them?
Oh, just a first-year teacher, kind of general?
Anybody.
Kind of thing.
Okay. And you can hit each level. You can hit your first year teacher, your middle of the road teacher, and your experiential. What would be like if if a teacher comes to you right now and you're just like, I need a tip from you.
Okay.
And there's no specifics. Just what would that tip look like?
Okay. Broadly speaking, I would say if you can like learn one new thing every year, how amazing would be your knowledge base after a few years? That's a very broad thing, but a very specific recommendation would be, I feel like everybody knows about this, but with Google, you can easily copy stuff, even if it's not been shared with you, if you change out the URL. So like if you look up in the address bar, you'll usually see like docs.google.com/a whole bunch of random characters. And then it'll say like, it'll say edit at some point in there. So if you go and delete out the word edit plus all the other characters that follow and just write in copy, C-O-P-Y, it will, and then hit enter, it will automatically create a copy of whatever that thing was. So a slide deck, a doc or whatever, and then you can own it and edit it. So sometimes you may find a really great resource online. So you can just make your own copy and then edit that from there and make it work for you. And what's also cool with that trick too, is if you want to make that link available to other people, for example, if you're sharing with colleagues or whatever, and they may not be in the district or there may be some sort of complication like that, you can build the link and include that copy at the end. I don't know if I'm expressing this well for our listeners. And then you can use that as a URL that you put on your website or whatever to share with others that resource. So, for example, if you do a presentation and you're sharing at a PLC or something like that, and you want to add that on a website that's public facing, you can add the copy and the URL with the copy at the end and then put that in your website. And now people can grab that resource for themselves. So that would be one little tip.
No, I think those are both awesome tips. Like, you know, again, like you find a resource and just use it. Don't worry about all the other fancy things out there.
Don't get distracted, yeah.
And just use that one resource. Because then, you know, if you build enough things from that one resource, year number two or year number 15 that you're teaching.
How much stuff do you know?
You're pulling all that back in and you're reusing it, revamping it. I think that's something sometimes we forget. We're always like, oh, I got to learn this. I got to learn that. I got to do this. But there's so much more just to being consistent. And then your tip for the edit and copy. I feel like that's something that we forget about. Like it's there. I know it's there. But then I'm like, I just go to the button and click it and do those things. But really like that's just quick and easy. And I'm sure we all know about that. There's probably some teachers that don't know about it. But I think it's a great little tip. to share.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Yeah, awesome. See, we got some big things going in here. So tech flesh tip of the day from me. Okay? Not really a tip, but so I'm on Twitter. I'm looking through Twitter and I noticed, and I don't remember the person that did it, but they were using Diffit, right? So Diffit, we know about Diffit, but you know, it creates your Google Slides like worksheets, right?
Yes.
But let's think about that as a presentation. Okay. So it's creating a presentation. I'm sharing that with students, whether it's like Schoology, making individual copies, or just a whole group thing, right? But what if I shared that presentation with them? Okay. Not worksheet, presentation with them. And I used Pear Deck. So Pear Deck allows you to have that interactive part, right? So I'm sharing this presentation. They can see where I'm going. As a teacher, I'm filling in the blocks, working through my answers or whatever. They're helping. They can go on their Google Slide and work through it. But every once in a while, I throw a multiple choice question at them. Every once in a while, I throw a little narrative response to them. And so it's Diffit's created it. Now I've edited it to make it my own. Now I'm sharing it with my students and we're doing it a whole group. And I have that more of that interactive part with it where I can see what they're doing.
That's really awesome.
And I never thought about little app smashing that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just on Twitter and it popped up and I was like, oh my gosh, that's going to be awesome to talk about with Betsy today.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
So there you go. There's my tech flush tip of the day. Hope y'all enjoyed that out there in podcast land. The flushers. We like to call them the flushers.
The flushers.
Nobody's really commented.
I saw them outside the door when I came in.
They were lining up. They wanted autographs. They knew you were coming.
They have merch now. There's a store.
Oh my gosh. Somebody's merching my stuff.
Yeah, you're going to have to get on that.
We're going to have to trademark some stuff. All right. So listen, getting back to the conversation. So let's think about your time as a, now I know, third grade teacher, a media specialist, tech coach, and super fancy term, innovation specialist,
sure.
Right? You got all these titles. I don't know, this may kind of tie into the tech flush tip, but what is really some practical advice that you could give to a teacher or even give to a media specialist?
I would say collaboration is really big and building relationships. I know that we say those words all the time, but when you think about like a library media center, we're sharing out resources for the school. It's not meant to be like this thing that is a pristine archive, a museum or whatever. It should represent the learning needs of the school, but also the interest of the children that are there and the needs of the teachers, professionally speaking. And you can only really build that if you are in conversation with those people and interacting with them. So, and the same is true, like in your classroom, it's just a different scale. So, like knowing your kids, what are their interests, what really gets them excited to learn. So you tailor whatever your content is to try to plug into those things. Number one, kind of building off whatever background they have, but also kind of showing you care a little bit so that we are both working as partners toward this common goal of learning the curriculum or preparing you for your future, whatever that may be. So I would say building relationships, collaborating with others, would only make your program better. And that group of people you collaborate with should include colleagues, but also maybe parents and stuff to your community as well. So that would be kind of a tip I would have.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome because really, I think it's not just teaching, but it doesn't matter what profession you're in. It's really a people business, right? Because especially for us, if we want to share tips with people and help develop their growth in technology in some facet, we really need to know them, know who they are, know what kind of teaching style they have. Knowing that teacher A is when I walk into their room, that they're not going to use any technology. Not because they don't want to, there's a struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're figuring out, because of those conversations you've had, all right, we're going to do some low tech things. I don't need to show her all the bells and whistles. But then you may have this teacher over here on my left, on teacher C, that's like, all right, so let's talk about AI today. And they're like giddy. And they're like, they just want to know it all. And you can just divulge all the information and overwhelm them. They're going to go home for a week and come back and be like, that was awesome. Well, I need more. You know, you got to find that balance and knowing what to share and what not to share. And then just building relationships in general. Hey, how was your day? Did you have a good weekend? What are you doing for fall break? You know, all those kind of fun things.
Right.
So I think that's great advice, collaboration. And it really rounds out a whole lot of things. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. All right. Next off, we're just going down the list here, Betsy.
I love it.
So again, going back to, I really like to think about our past. I feel like our past creates who we are, not just as people, but really as educators. I think about my time in the classroom. I think about my time as a football coach. And I think about how all those things have really created who I am today. And then even my experiences now continue to create who I am today. So when I think about our past, how do you feel that what makes this job that we're in now so different than what you've done in your past?
It's a greater emphasis. It's obviously, like you said, everything we were building is around people. Like, this all has to serve people. But this role is more specific to technology integration than some of the other roles. So like as a teacher, you have your curriculum, this specific curriculum for this year, subject that you have to focus on. Well, we care about all of the different things the teachers have to teach or whatever. Yeah. We have to support everybody. So that would be something that's a little bit different, I guess, scale and scope.
Yeah, because even like, you know, when you're in the classroom, you know your content standards for your grade level, or as you move, you really have to dive into those. In this position, like, yes, we're pushing technology, but at the same time, if we're going to support teachers and do it the right way, we've really got to dive in and talk about standards. We need to know what they're talking about and just know those things.
And with all due respect to the level of expertise of our teachers, because they are experts in so many different things. So I want to support them, but it's almost kind of a dance where I bring my skill set and we combine it with the skill set of the teacher.
No, I agree with that, because some teachers are super knowledgeable and they know all things. I mean, that's like, you know, this week I walked into Rebecca Ball's room at Walker Valley.
Wonderful.
And she knows it all. Like, and we're bouncing ideas off each other. And there may be something that, hey, I just researched it today and it's brand new and you can share. And that's awesome. People love that. But there's not a whole lot you can really do other than now you're changing maybe their process with a tool. Instead of just here's your product and how to use it.
Have you thought about this?
It's like Diff-It. Have you ever thought about using it with Pear Deck?
Yes.
No, like who thinks that way? But it is. It's an option. So really, it's just adding a different flavor to what we do, right?
Yes, exactly.
And I think that's what – I think to me, that's what makes this role so different. It's not just the knowledge that we may have or we may need to get to support people, but it's understanding that knowledge and how to use it. And understanding it's just not a product. It's more a process.
Right.
And that's really been this whole idea of a process. And I've talked about it on the show before, but it's really still a new thing for me to think about, especially like when we went to Texas as a group, and which we'll get to go in with 2026.
So excited.
It's going to be awesome. And so going to Texas, it really came back as there's not just products that I can share, but what kind of process. And I think this is where podcasting has been a really big fun thing to do for the show, but really that's what's kind of changing my process, because this podcasting can range from a lot of different things. And so using that same idea for other tools out there, it's kind of like, I don't know, just back to process. All right. Well, cool. I think we've got everything on the list.
Did we cover all the bullets?
I think we covered all the bullets. I think we got them all, right? Is there anything else, Betsy, that you think we need to talk about? Any other tips, things you want to share?
I think we should do this again, right?
Yes, I think we should. Next time, I may not show you the list of things.
Oh my gosh.
No, don't tell anybody, but I'll still do that for you, Betsy.
Okay, thank you.
If it's Colby Burris, I'm just going to get him in here and sit down and we'll just start talking.
Okay.
We can't share the stuff with him. But listen, seriously, Betsy, I don't know why I emphasize that.
I don't either.
Sometimes I'm weird. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I think this was awesome conversation. I hope my viewers, the flushers out there, enjoyed that. And I hope you had a great first 9 weeks as an innovation specialist.
Thank you for having me on.
It's been awesome just not to have you on the show, but it's been awesome really to work with you, get to know you these past 9 weeks. And I hope you have this after fall break this comes out. I hope you had a wonderful fall break.
I did have a great fall break.
That's even weirder to say. Oh, goodness. We're going down some weird paths here. All right. Well, cool. Listen, can we follow you anywhere?
Okay.
Not like that, but like, not like creeper-ish, but like on the social medias. Do you have that?
I'm on the Twitter / X.
I don't know what you call it anymore. I'm in that generation.
I'm Clementine Tech.
Clementine Tech. Awesome. Yes. Cool. Follow her on there. She is a mad woman on there. Every time I get in there to look, she is retweeting, tweeting. Like, it's insane the kind of stuff she shows. So make sure you get out there and follow her on there. Remember, you can follow me at Josh_Morris65. You can follow us on Apple, all the fun things. And listen, I know I've talked about this a lot, Betsy, but these people need to go and check out our bcstechnology.org website.
It's full of amazing stuff.
I mean, we got articles, podcasts, like all the things are coming out. It's incredible.
It's so good.
It's awesome. So listen, I hope you all have enjoyed this episode. This was episode number 33. So until next time, I hope everybody has a good one and we'll catch you later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.